Amen. Well, I'm enjoying the series that our associate pastor's preaching. Things not to be ignorant of. Ignorant does not mean stupid, by the way. It means just unlearned, not knowing. And I've enjoyed it. Come on.
1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I was watching a series today on kind of the gifts of the Spirit today. Don't encourage you to watch it on YouTube like I did, but I found some good stuff. Found a church that believed in being drunk in the Spirit was a gift, and they were literally drunk in the Spirit. And you can watch it, it's ridiculous. But you're talking a church packed out of probably 1,000, all acting like they were drunk. Then I watched another one that believed the gift of the Spirit was barking like a dog. I'm not lying, they were on their knees in the church house barking like a dog. And then I watched another one, which most of you know, Oral Roberts and those type guys, and he believed that he could slay people in the Spirit, and so he would wave his hand over the audience, and as he come around, they were doing the wave, really what they were doing, but they called it spiritual, you know, slaying in the Spirit, and he had the gift of slaying people in the Spirit. I was like, man, if I had the gift of slaying people, I would not be in the church. Amen. I'd be in the White House, right? Just kidding, you know. But he would go like this, and everybody just fall down on the ground. I thought, wow. And I was reminded again of why in the world would Paul say, I don't want you to be ignorant of these things. And then it dawned on me. I heard a man speak today, and he's a very good guy, and I can't think of his name, but very good. And he takes some of these false evangelism, just like old Jesse, whatever his name is, owns a $54 million jet. You know, I can't remember his last name, but, you know, it's ridiculous. You got Kenneth Copeland over here, multimillionaire, and I believe this. I personally believe that most of them are not saved. I believe most of them are used by the devil to get elderly people's money. And you say, how does that happen? Because of ignorance of the Scripture. And that's why I believe Paul's saying, I have you not to be ignorant, brethren. What does that mean? Well, I don't want you to be ignorant because when somebody comes with not the truth, you're able to say, no, wait a minute, that's not right. And by the way, if it doesn't line up with the Scripture, nobody in television history has an extra revelation. There's nobody on. And by the way, I was watching Rod Parsley one time, and I like his voice, but he says nothing really of the truth. But they were on there, and I believe all these other ones were saying this. You know, if you send, God will bless you tenfold. You send a dollar, and God will give you 10. And I was thinking, well, if you believe that, why don't you give all of us a dollar, and you can have the 10? Right? I mean, you know what I'm saying? If you truly believe what you're saying, then really all you're doing is building their coffers. But why do people watch TV and go, oh, I got to give to that? Well, it's because most people are ignorant or unlearned about the Scripture. And if it doesn't match up with Scripture, guess what it is? It's wrong. And people today say, well, we'll take this portion of Scripture and we'll make a doctrine out of it. And that's what was happening to the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth was confused about the Lord's Supper, and they were confused about speaking in tongues. And I begin to study this, and Paul begins to say in verse 1, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. And he reminds him, he says, you know that you were Gentiles. You ever thought about this? Is that if you have the gift of tongues, which simply means you can speak in other languages, if I got up here and you understood in your own language, that would be the gift of tongues. We don't need that today. Amen. That's done away with. It wasn't a jabber. Again, today, I get on a kick sometimes. I was watching, oh man, I can't remember the guy's name now, but one of the guys is a bishop. He said, he was talking to his crowd on TV, and he said, I know y'all don't know how to speak in tongues, but I'm going to teach you. He says, just start jabbering the first thing that comes out. And then he did this. He said, go louder, quicker. He says, I know you won't know what you're saying, but it's a spiritual language. I was thinking, huh? Ignorant people sitting and watching that were going, a-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Now, when I was raised around Indians, where I was from, we went to powwows. And at a powwow, they did that. They danced around and, a-la-la-la-la, you know, all that. And then maybe if you're Muslim, maybe that's the language you speak. But here's what Paul's teaching them. Paul's teaching them is that's not part of a spiritual gift. You're taking something. By the way, they were Gentiles. Even if they did have the the gift of tongues, they couldn't have done it because it was given to the Jews. The Jews had to have, they had to be an interpreter. So they were already out of their league. And so anyway, we get on down here. I would get carried away. I watched too many videos of false stuff today. It's got me riled up. Verse 3. Wherefore I give. Now notice what he said. Well, let me finish reading verse 2. He says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Go back over to chapter 10 just real quick. I want to show you what idols he's talking about. Chapter 10, verse 19. Notice what he says here. He tells them this again. He says, what I say then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to gods, and I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. In other words, Paul's giving a warning. Look, the worship that you came from was not worship of Jehovah. It was worship of the devil. And I'll just be blunt with you. You either worship God or you worship the devil. There's no in between. You're either worshiping God or you're worshiping the devil. Or you're just not doing anything, which is really worship of the devil. But notice what he says on down. Go back to chapter 12. He says in verse 3, he says, wherefore I give you to understand. That word understand is the crossword of ignorant. If you're not ignorant, you have understanding. Understanding is what we need. Notice what he says here. That no man speak by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Jesus accursed. The guy that was wanting, that's wanting to play Jesse, whatever, somebody think his name. But he, Duplantis, that's it. Duplantis, yeah, that's your man. I heard him speak today and said that he counseled God before. You talk about blasphemy. And you can watch it. It's online. He says, God came to me one day and asked me my opinion about this man. And he says this. He says, I told God to wait. Can I tell you, we serve a merciful God. That God hasn't struck these demons down yet. But here it is. He says, no man is speaking. But yet, if we do it in the name of Christ, boy, people just bawl over it and give money over this stuff. If they came out and said, look, we're really devil worshipers, nobody would watch it. The devil's smart. By the way, 1 Corinthians tells us too that Satan can appear as an angel of light. He can be transformed into an angel of light. But notice what happened. He said, call Jesus accursed. Oh, by the way, just while we're on this, I'll just go ahead and spill the beans. But Joel Osteen's wife said this. You can watch this also. She said that Jesus was a man until God touched him and put the Spirit of God in him. That is what she said. And you tell me that ain't blasphemy. You say, I don't believe that. Go along, watch it. It's on there. They say it on TV and you watch it. But notice what it is. It's a curse that no man say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. In other words, the good words of professing that Jesus Christ is Lord comes from the Spirit of God. Now notice on down, he says verse 4, he says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God, which worketh in all. Verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And we'll talk about that here in just a moment. Verse 8 says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and another the word of knowledge, and by the same Spirit. And it goes on down and starts listing things. A gift that comes by the Spirit. So tonight we're going to talk about don't be ignorant of God's gifts, of the spiritual gifts that God has given you. And so let's look at this after we pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the night. God, thank you for your blessings. Lord, thank you tonight that we're in a church tonight that holds forth truth. And God, in holding forth truth and lifting up Jesus Christ, you said that you would draw all men unto Him. And so God, tonight we pray that Jesus would be our center focus point. And God, I pray that you get all glory and all honor. Use me tonight, God, I pray, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we see the confused Corinthians. The confused Corinthians. Warren Wiersbe said this. He said, ignorance is the mother of all kinds of mischief. You know what? If you're ignorant, if you're unlearned about truth, you will follow anything. We used to say this in seminary, and I'm sure it's everywhere you were too, that if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. And that's what's happened in America today. That's why churches and Christians, Christians and so-called Christians are falling away, because they have ignorance about the Word of God. And that's why you're here tonight, is to learn. That's why I'm here tonight. Paul wanted them to have understanding and knowledge of these gifts. Now let me start by saying this, and I hope that you'll take this to heart. There is a difference between natural gifts and spiritual gifts. Me playing the piano is not a spiritual gift. You see, you say, whoa, wait a minute, why is that? No, that's called a talent. See, I played the piano before I got saved. Amen. Nowhere in the Scripture is a gift listed as playing the piano or playing the guitar or singing is not a gift of God. That's a talent. That is a natural talent. There's natural talents and there's supernatural talents. The supernatural gifts are what? Not talents, but supernatural and supernatural. Those supernatural is what comes from the Spirit of God in our life. That mercy, that giving, and He lists here those gifts that He gives us. By the way, I have a lot of gifts that the Lord has given me, and I'm thankful for that. I don't have all of them. I was doing the spiritual test today. I was like, no. Oh, got that one. I lied on a couple of them. Lying wasn't on there. And so, and I took that test, and I said, you know what? I'm blessed. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit. I want you to notice a couple things tonight. Number one, I want you to notice the contrast of gifts. Verses 4 through 6 tell us that there is a contrast of gifts. When you read verses 4 through 6, sometimes you can go, huh? Basically, here's what verse 4 through 6 says. That, notice verse 1, he says, and there are diversities of gifts. In other words, there are, as a body of Christ, a local body tonight, we are a local body, okay? We're not talking about a universal church, right? Because all of us, if it was a universal church, we couldn't see it. We're talking about us tonight. We're working together as one body. We're working together under one Spirit. That's what he's going to go on to say. He's talking about unity. See, that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They were in unity. And what happened? They were filled with the Holy Ghost of God. That God had given them gifts. And at that time, they had different gifts. They had the gifts of tongue, gift of prophecy. They had the gift of healing at that time. But we don't have those now. Why? Because we have the completed Word of God. Now, we still have the gift of prophecy. That's just called preaching. Just proclaiming the Word of God and imparting truth. But the contrast of gifts, there's different gifts. In other words, verse 4, there's different types of gifts. He said different types of administration. In other words, he gives it to different people. So you have different gifts that are given to different people, all for one reason. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But there's contrasting gifts. You say, why did God do that? Because he knew that this local body tonight needed to work together for the cause of Christ. If all of us had the same gifts, it wouldn't be quite the interesting church that we have. It's amazing how God always sends the right people to the right church. You know why? Because he's a good God, and because he's an all-knowing God, and he knows who to send to Heritage Baptist Church. And he knows what gifts that make us complete as a body, a local body in Jesus Christ. I know you've never heard this statement before, but you might want to write it down because it's original with me. Ask not what your church can do for you, but what you can do for your church. I don't know where I got that from, but that's good. Write that down. You see, here's why God gave us contrasting gifts. Because there's different types of gifts given to different people for different reasons. It's so what? It's so not that you can come to the church and say, it's so you can say, what can I give? Well, wouldn't that be a good church to be a part of? Woo! We are part of that church. Heritage Baptist Church, I'm glad people come. And I love when pastor comes and says, hey, these people did this in their last church. And we try to figure out where to put people. And sometimes we don't always get it right, but that's okay. God's forgiving and God shows us that, and you move people around. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful we got people in our church that have leadership abilities. I have good following ability. Somebody said, how do you know if you're a good leader? Brother Rigsby at school, you say, well, turn around and see if anybody's following you. A genius guy, I'm telling you. Everyone in this local body has a gift to contribute through this local body. Spiritual gifts are not given to you to use in an unspiritual way and outside of the local body. In other words, God's given you a gift so you can use it for Him here, and so you can use it for Him in glorifying Him and honoring Him. People have gifts that sit dormant at times. May we use our gifts for Him. The contrasting gifts. Number two, I feel like I derailed somewhere. Number two, the concept of gifts. Verse 7, the concept of gifts. Why were gifts given? Well, he gives us the reason in verse 7. He says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man so they can be on TV. Oh, wait a minute. That's not in the Scripture. It says the prophet with all. You say, well, what is prophet? You study prophet through the Scripture, true prophet, and it's always talking about eternity. See, me and you have no profit in this world because the Bible says, as a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians tells us that one day all of our works are going to be thrown into a fire, and if it's works that are eternal, they will last, but if they are not, they're going to be burnt up. You see, I get so tired of seeing people do things so that they can get glory. I'll tell you right now, if you do something to get glory, that is called flesh. Because when the Holy Spirit came, and you can read this in John chapter 16. Matter of fact, I'll read it for you. He says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you in all truth, for He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever ye shall hear, that shall ye speak. And here it is. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit works in mine and your life to glorify Him. I don't know about you, but I'm happy with nobody knowing what I do for Him. I just am. If I could live in a cave and glorify Him, I'd do it. You say, well, you're in a public position. I know, and I don't like it. I'm not a public person. But that's what God's called me to do, and that's okay. But you know what? I believe this in all my heart, and we say this all the time. I believe some of the greatest eternal gifts we'll see in heaven are some people that have never been on this stage, that have never sung a special, that have never sung in a choir, who may have not even ever taught a Sunday school class, but God's going to honor them for using their gift for Him and glorifying Him, and never one day saying, Pastor didn't recognize me again. Right? I love it when Pastor doesn't recognize me. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, please, just let our anniversary pass. You know, especially on those bad years, you know. So you're like, I don't think I did too good this year. Please don't say anything. Pastor, please. Don't give them my review up there, please. But I'm not here to please my pastor. I'm not here to please you before I'm here to please him. And I have to remind myself, as I was studying early this morning, I was reading through a book that I have, and I was reminded again, this is very simple, that I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. And that price was paid at Calvary for me. And I owe Him everything. The concept of a gift, it was given, so why? So God could be glorified. And so the believer could be edified. We believe that, notice what he says, to profit with all. That word profit, that phrase profit with all, there in verse 7, means to collect or contribute in order to help. Or just basically this phrase, to help. In other words, the profit that we give, is to help somebody, and in turn, it's eternal. And glorifying God, and profit is only through the Spirit of God. Matter of fact, Jesus says this, that He'll either suffer profit, so to speak, or loss. Don't you hate when you get to the end of the year and you do that profit and loss thing? I wish I could get up here one year. I'm always in the loss category for some reason. I lose things. It's called money. You know, I'm blessed beyond measure, but sometimes you look at that category, and sometimes you look at what, by the way, isn't God good to us and blesses us? And sometimes it's just our bad handling of money. But I want to tell you that tonight, that if anything is done for glory of self, it is self and it's fleshly. You say, what about all those televangelists? They are all wrong. That want glory for themselves. Matter of fact, Benny Hinn's nephew doesn't even claim he's a Bible. He goes to a Bible church, or pastors a Bible church. Now he won't even proclaim his own uncle. And he knows the lie there. You know, what do they want? They want to have the power in this right here. They want it to be about them. You know what? I learned this whenever I was pastoring. This is humbling, by the way. This doesn't happen here, but it happened at my church. Is that when I wasn't there, it kept going. Now, when pastor's not here, we fall apart, right? But whenever I wasn't there, Brother Cox, guess what? It kept going. Why? Because it's not about me. It's about the God of this church. It's about the power of God in this church and the Spirit of God working in this church. Listen, when I hear these kids up here preaching, God works on my life. It's not about how old you are or who you are. It's about who's working through you. And the Spirit of God has given us all gifts to use in this local body to honor and glorify Him and to edify the body. See, that's the concept of gifts. That's why it was given. All glory to God. We sing the song, "To God be the glory, great things He hath done." And I want you to notice the third thing tonight, the commonality of gifts. I want you to notice over, if you will, he says in verse 8, he says, "For to us is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another of knowledge." But I want you to notice, he says this several times. He says in verse 8, he says, "By the same Spirit." Verse 9 at the end, he says, or in the middle there, he says, "Same Spirit." Then he says at verse 9, the bottom, he says, "Same Spirit." He goes on down in verse 11, the self-same Spirit. He goes on down verse 13, he says, "One Spirit." He says, "One body, one Spirit, one body, one Spirit." You say, what's it? What's the commonality? All of us get our gifts from the same person. And that's the person of the Holy Ghost, the person of the Holy Spirit of God. He comes and lives in us, our life at the moment of salvation. He indwells the believer. And when we choose to live a Spirit-filled life and we produce the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in our life, that fruit that abounds in our life because of Him, guess what happens? He gives us all gifts that we can use here in this local body. Why? So we can say, "My gift's better than yours." No, because the commonality is this. It's the same Spirit. That you get yours from is where I get mine from. Yours may be different. Your gift may be different than mine. But we get it from the same source. You say, what's the commonality here? We all have the same power source. You see, if Brother Chad gets an extension cord, let's say we both have, we don't want extension cord because that goes wrong every time. We have the same lamp and we plug it into the same plug. There's two there. Then guess what? We both have the same amount of power. We may have different lamps. He's got a little bit dimmer bulb than I do. He's a 30 watt, I'm a 60. But we both have access to the same power source. You see, there's no little me and big you. Because we have a commonality of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You see, these people that claim to have more of the Spirit than others is not right. Now, the Spirit may have more of you than He does of me. But you don't have more of Spirit than I do. You see what I'm saying? Being filled with the Spirit just simply means relinquishing all of your will to His. Because you got all the Spirit of God in your life you're ever going to get at the moment of salvation. But He doesn't always have all of us. And the filling of the Spirit is us relinquishing and saying, "Lord, I surrender all." And when we relinquish all, guess what God does? Through the Holy Spirit of God, He fills our life. He's able to use us now. Why? Because we have these instruments, these hands and these brains and these hearts that we use for Him. And now He's able to control them. I remember as a child, my dad taught me how to drive a stick on a heel. He was a very, very mean man. He said, "If you can get up this hill, son, you can drive anywhere in the world." We were in a Chevy S10, 90-something model. That would have been an 80-something model, sorry. 89 model, something like that. Dad parked it on a hill. I got in that thing, and if you can't find them, grind them. That was my motto. Popped the clutch. I mean, it was bad. Dad got out, come over there, he said, "Sit in my lap and learn how to drive first." And I'd set my dad's lap up many times. You know, when you're living in the country, you start driving when you're about two. You know? And people say, "Well, was you in a car seat?" What was a car seat? I didn't even know what a car seat. We didn't know what car seat was. We were thrown in the back of the truck. That's what, back in the days, you say, why didn't they have extended cabs back then? It did have. It was called you sit in the back and sweat. And your parents are in there going and laughing at you as icicles are dripping off of them. And it's 104 outside, and you're in the back, right? You say, did you get strapped in? Yeah, if you had a bungee cord back there, you might could. But I remember my dad sitting me in his lap and him showing me. And I remember me holding that steering wheel. But I remember that my dad always kept his hand at that bottom just in case. Sometimes he'd had, I remember the smaller I was, I remember him driving, but he'd let me, you know, as a kid you like to do this. But I can remember the day when Daddy said, "All right, it's all yours." Uh-oh. You see, that's what we have to do to God. Say, "Lord, it's all yours." You don't need your hand on the steering wheel. You'll crash and burn. The commonality of gifts. We may all have different gifts, but we must all have the same goal. What is that? To glorify Him. You see, when church comes together and we meet together, here's why we're here. We're here for Him. That's it. We're here for Him. And in doing that, if we're here for Him, if we worship Him, as Pastor's been preaching on worship, well, that's convicted my heart. Because sometimes I think we just show up because that's just a routine that we do and we miss God. We should all come here with not to see who's wearing what. Hello? We shouldn't come here to hear the latest gossip. God help us if that's why we come to church. I hope you don't come to church just to see who's singing a special. But when we come to church, we ought to beg to see God afresh and anew every Sunday, every Wednesday night. See Him afresh and anew and to hear from Him in His Word and let the Holy Spirit work through our life. But here's the thing. We also should come knowing that we are part of this body. And that if we are not here in sync with each other and with the Spirit of God, guess what's going to happen? He goes on to talk about there's schisms in the body. You say, "What is that?" Well, it would be a bad day if one of my legs said, "You know what? I'm not doing it today. I'm done." That's it, Wiggins. Get up out of bed. Whoa, I mean, wouldn't that be something? One of your legs just say, "Yeah, I'm not doing it." And you say, "Yes, you are." "No, I'm not." There is nothing you can do to get that leg to work. And see, sometimes as a church, we can have that schisms, can't we? Why is that? Because sometimes we come here, and I'm pointing the fingers at me, for selfish motives. But notice that we all have the same commonality. We have the same Spirit. We're in this body of Heritage Baptist Church together. Not to build a kingdom of Heritage Baptist Church, but to honor and glorify Him. And may we worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's stand tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed. I'll pray and then Pastor come and have an invitation. Father, we love You. Thank You tonight. Lord, help us not to be ignorant of Your gifts that You've given us and the reason why You've given us those gifts. And God, I certainly am thankful for a church that has, Lord, many members, but Lord, we all have different ministries and have different abilities that we have. But God, may we all have the one commonality that, Lord, we're here to serve You and that we're here to worship You and honor You and to glorify You. And God, in doing that, we'll please each other. But God, greater than all that, Lord, we'll see souls saved. Lord, we'll see people come to know Christ, their Savior. God, use this time we've had now and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, Pastor.